Welcome back to the Knock On Sports, and joining me in studio is Brandon Schultz of the Seahawkers podcast. Brandon, how are you doing today, bud?
Doing great, Anthony. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely, and I love, once again, Brandon comes in with some of the best gear as a Seahawks fan. I love the Army Green sweatshirt here. I know he had his other one on last Tuesday, but once again, Brandon comes in here in style.
I got to change it up, but this week I'm going with my Oklahoma Sooners hat because they got the win over Texas this weekend in the Red River rivalry, so happy about that.
As a fan of Oklahoma, do you get joy out of seeing a Texas coach possibly get fired because he doesn't win the game?
No, that bums me out. Texas fans need to stick with him. He's not a terrible coach. Texas fans are making way too big a deal about
Charlie Strong.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. But moving on to the action on Sunday, the Seahawks were not in action. So what did you do? Did you get a chance to catch any of the Falcons-Broncos game?
I watched the Falcons-Broncos game. This was the perfect weekend for Seahawks fans. The Seahawks didn't have to do anything, yet we got to watch the Rams lose to the Bills.
Always a big one.
Which leapfrogged us up into the division lead for the NFC West. So it all feels right for Seahawks fandom right now with them in first place in the NFC West.
Well, you talk about the Rams losing. The Cardinals and the 49ers dueled it out on Thursday Night Football. The Cardinals just beat up on the 49ers. Now we're going to see Chip Kelly. He made the announcement today that Colin Kaepernick is going to be the quarterback. The Seahawks have had success in defeating Colin Kaepernick. But Brandon, you've seen this guy quite a bit as you see him twice a year over the past couple of years. Do you think Colin Kaepernick with Chip Kelly can turn the ship around for the San Francisco 49ers?
I don't know about turn it around completely. It might get them to be at least up to 4 or 5 wins, where I don't think Gabbert can get the 49ers to be a 5-win team this year. I think Kaepernick, the best we can hope for with him is to be a league average quarterback at this point. I'm not seeing he's better at throwing downfield. I think if they can get the running game going better with Kaepernick, they'll at least win a few more games, but not at any point to where I'm concerned about the 49ers within the division.
Well, let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals then. They're in the division. Once again, they were not looking strong. Well, the Rams did, because the Rams, I think, benefited from one, you know, just that's the game against you guys. And then apparently Tampa Bay didn't want to come to play today, and they screwed that one up. But now the Rams, you know, you talked about it. You guys leapfrogged them with the win, and Buffalo's starting to look good because they've kind of started to take down both the Cardinals and the Rams in back-to-back weeks. But that division, is it pretty much Seattle's to win now?
I've thought so since the beginning of the season, but because it was only a matter of time before Carson Palmer started to. Last year was his first year where he had a full season, a full healthy season. So you had to think that it wasn't going to happen again. The problem with the Cardinals that everybody's wondering about is their defense, because that was supposed to be the strength of this Cardinals team, right? The defense with Patrick Peterson and the Honey Badger. Those are guys you expect for the Cardinals to have a good defense. And now you're seeing that as long as they're relying on that running game with David Johnson while Palmer's out, then maybe they can win some games. But it was even then against the 49ers, that was a winnable game for San Francisco. So you're really questioning the talent on the Cardinals now. You're questioning it certainly with the 49ers, and then with the Rams, are they going to go back to being the 7-9 Rams, or will it come to a point to where Jared Goff comes in and can win some games for the Rams?
I don't know, because at the same time, you know, and let's bring up this rookie quarterback situation. We talked about this a little bit off air, and I want your thoughts on this. We see a lot of rookie quarterbacks having success so far. We've seen Dak Prescott. He's come in, had success. We have seen a Carson Wentz. He just suffered his first loss and threw his first interception this past weekend. We're seeing rookie quarterbacks have success now. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, maybe not in terms of wins, but in terms of statistics, they're being successful. They're being able to throw the football. But we're seeing where it's in those second and third years where quarterbacks are really starting to find out, well, maybe not as good as those rookie seasons. And can we find quarterbacks that are going to continue just past the rookie season?
It's kind of interesting to watch it see because you are seeing that, and whether or not teams are just adjusting better to those teams and to those quarterbacks in their second years. I still think Mariota's going to be a solid quarterback for Tennessee. He had a good game this last week. Winston, I think just once he gets his running game back, Doug Martin been out the last couple of weeks, I think you're going to start to see him be a little bit better than he has in past weeks. It has a lot to do, I think, with the poise of the quarterback, because you see Dak Prescott, you see Carson Wentz. These are guys that are very poised as quarterbacks, and I don't know if Jared Goff is going to have it. You know, Paxton Lynch for the Broncos, you didn't see him have a whole lot of success out there for a rookie quarterback.
No, you're absolutely right, and Denver had to go and has already decided to go back to Trevor Siemian, I don't know. I guess what you saw on Sunday from the Atlanta Falcons, who's not exactly what you'd call a top five defense, back to Trevor Siemian. But let's talk about that game, the Atlanta Falcons and the Seattle Seahawks this Sunday. We talked a little bit about last week, but the Falcons look to be the real deal, Brandon.
They are. And that was the question I had coming into this week is, was Matt Ryan going to be able to throw on the Denver defense? Were they going to be able to move the ball well against one of the top three defenses? Because if you think of the top three defenses, you look at the Seahawks, you look at the Denver Broncos and the Minnesota Vikings. Those three defenses, I think, without question, are the top three right now. And for Atlanta to move the ball, to get 23 points up on the board early, they really, by the time the fourth quarter came around, they didn't have to really concern themselves with moving the ball all that well against Denver's defense. They could play conservative because they were up by 20-some points, right? It was impressive that they were able to move the ball the way they checked down to the running backs. I thought that was, as a Seahawks fan, watching that, watching a team that has success with a little dump-off passes to the running backs, that's something that Seattle has struggled with in the past, and that's going to be a question for me. Are they going to be able to cover those types of routes against the Falcons this Sunday?
And Brandon, real quick, let's talk about your Seahawkers podcast. You guys didn't have the bye. You guys had the bye week this past week, but what's coming up with this week's show?
This week we'll be talking about, of course, previewing the matchup of the Falcons and the Seahawks on Sunday. We'll be talking a little bit about Russell Wilson and just how impressive he's been just these first 4 weeks of the season, especially an injury to come in and perform as well as he has despite injury. And now, by all accounts, he's coming back after the bye well-rested and looking like the old Russell Wilson. So it's good that that he conditions himself to the point to where an injury like he's taken the early on in the season.
Right.
Those types of injuries would put most quarterbacks out for a couple weeks. And yeah, now that because of that conditioning, he's going to be able to be back and ready after the bye week.
Russell Wilson looking impressive over the last couple of weeks. The offense has looked even more impressive the last couple of weeks. And I think the key cog there is, one, the running game, but two, Jimmy Graham is finally getting involved in the passing game. I think he's led the receiving, except for 1 week when Doug Baldwin went off. But he has led, I think, the receivers for the Seattle Seahawks the last couple of weeks in terms of receiving yards.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham's been outstanding. He's, I think, second in the league, at least going into the bye week. He was second in the league only behind Greg Olsen. And we saw him on Monday night in Tampa. I have to give you a hard time being a Tampa Bay fan, Anthony.
Go ahead.
I thought the Seahawks struggled at covering Greg Olsen, but I found a Tampa Bay team that has a harder time covering Greg Olsen than the Seahawks.
What was it last night? Well, I'll tell you what, he got me a lot of points last night on my fantasy team, so I was okay with that. Just as long as Tampa Bay gets the win.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay wins, then I'm not so bothered or cared about my fantasy team, but yeah, you're absolutely right. For whatever reason, Tampa Bay doesn't know how to cover anybody, to be honest with you. The week before, I think we gave up. We make average quarterbacks look great. We make great tight ends look even greater in Hall of Famers. But yeah, Greg Olsen, 9 receptions, 181 yards. Don't worry, Jimmy Graham will get his numbers. The Bucs and the Seahawks come up here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bucs will be on the bye this week, thank the Lord.
And go back to the Falcons. That's another area where I look at the other side of the ball. Who's the tight end on the Falcons? And they don't have a strong tight end, and not that I can see anyway, through the first few weeks.
Well, see, for me, it's not so much they've got one guy. Because from what I saw at that Denver game, they had 3 tight ends. So it's tight end by committee that really frustrated the Denver defense. I believe it was Hooper and Tutilio, can't even say it. Yeah. Tulio, that guy. Tulio.
Mr. T.
Mr. T. And he does a nice job in the passing game. You've also got Jacob Tammy that does it as well, because I think they found a way to beat the Denver defense to a degree, lining up three tight ends and just kind of hammering that side where Von Miller's on.
And I've heard Seahawks fans say, you know, that's a concern because, oh, if we have trouble with one tight end, what are we going to do with three tight ends? And
yeah.
I think the Seahawks have the ability to cover tight ends well. KJ Wright has been really solid this year covering tight ends. And, you know, of course, when you have Richard Sherman, when you have Cam Chancellor having another outstanding season, the tight ends aren't the part of the position group for the Falcons that concern me. It's the running backs out of the backfield. Are they going to be able to get downfield? And Matt Ryan checking down to those receivers. I'm also interested to see Richard Sherman. Are they going to use him to cover Julio Jones? Because we saw that in the game against the Jets. We saw Sherman move and to Brandon Marshall's side of the field and cover him too. So this could be the year, and they did it last year too, where Sherman moved and followed Dez Bryant. So I would expect him to be all over Julio Jones this week in the Falcons.
Right, but where Denver covered Julio Jones, Tevin Coleman came into the picture, and like you talked about before the break, was the fact that they did a great job running Tevin Coleman out of the backfield, whether it's a wheel route, whether it's just a dump off that he turns in 25 yards. But I think there's linebackers there that are going to be able to cover Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, you know, Jordan Tripp, former Montana Grizzly, got called up for the Seahawks. I'm curious to see if we'll see Tripp at all or if we'll see Kevin Pierre-Lewis. And Kevin Pierre-Lewis, I think, is a nice matchup against a running back. I don't think he matches up well against tight ends, but he's a fast linebacker. And I would expect him to be the one that they would put on a guy like Coleman.
What about Devontae Freeman? Because you know the Falcons are going to want to run the football. You guys are going to need to stop the run. You've done a nice job with Todd Gurley. You've done throughout the season. Matt Forte really didn't get any yards on you. But Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, they feature two running backs. It's easy to stop one, but it's even more difficult to stop two.
I think that's where the Broncos ran into their biggest problem early on in the game. Through the first half, the Broncos were not as disciplined as I think they normally are in the run game. And we saw it tighten up, especially in the third quarter against the Falcons. They were tending to pass a little bit more, but I think that was part of Denver just tightening up the run game, being a little bit more disciplined. And I really expect the Seahawks to continue to shut down the run game with the Falcons. That's why I think just covering the secondary for the Seahawks and covering Falcons receivers in this game, that's going to be the important thing. If they're going to able to shut down Julio Jones, you know, it's going to come down to Deshaun Shedd on the other side of the ball and Jeremy Lane in the slot to cover those other receivers. And I'm really liking the Seahawks in the matchup in this game. The weakness, I think, is going to be hitting the running back out of the backfield and whether or not they're able to keep those gains short, be a good tackling team. Because we saw Denver miss a lot of tackles when on the backs caught the ball out of the backfield.
We're still here with Brandon Schultz of the Seahawkers podcast talking about the Seahawks game this week and what I think will be likely the game of the week on the schedule between the Seahawks and the Falcons, a matchup between a 3-1 team and a 4-1 team. Brandon, let's talk about the other side of the ball real quick. The Seahawks offense, the Atlanta Falcons have two decent corners. Trufant's probably their best corner. Alford does a nice job when he's not being penalized, but at the same time, I think, you know, Pete Carroll might use that to his advantage because all you got to do is line up Doug Baldwin to Alford and flag just keeps flying.
Sure. Yeah, I'm curious to see who they're going to match up because it would make sense to me for Trufant to match up on Baldwin. But, you know, Curse is another capable receiver on that side. He's on pace to match his 49 catch total from last year. And like you said, run somebody at Alford and just wait for the pass interference call because he's top five in the league right now. And
yeah, over the last three seasons, I think was the number. He's like top five or maybe even the most, I think I saw.
Right, and Seahawks fans remember Brandon Browner. Very similar as far as a receiver. You know, it's nice that they can be physical and maybe get in a receiver's head at sometimes, but you have to take the good with the bad. And in Alford's case, it's pass interference penalties. So you have those two guys. You have Jimmy Graham, who I think, you know, if he can continue on his pace, I don't know if the Falcons will have an answer for him. It's tough to have an answer for him anyway. I look at this Falcons defense and I'm not quite sold. Yes, they limited Denver to only 16 points this last weekend, But that was against Paxton Lynch, and the Denver didn't really have the running game going. They did not move the ball well against the Falcons team, and we've seen every team in weeks before really be able to light up that Falcons defense. So
yeah, that's true.
When the right tackle for the Broncos is out and all I have to do is run at Sombrero and just bowl him over. Lynch had a rough day thanks to his right tackle.
You could hear that through the TV broadcasters as well. They said the same thing. But Brandon, real quick, what are going to be the keys that you think for the Seahawks coming up this Sunday against the Falcons?
Yeah, I think on offense, it's really going to be if Jimmy Graham, if you can keep feeding him and also keeping the run game going for the Seahawks. I think C-Mike, Kristen Michael, you know, we'll continue to see him get the ball. And this Falcons defense, I think, is a defense that you can run on. So if you can get to that second level, get to the linebackers, I really like the Seahawks to be able to continue to pound the football, especially at home. And then on the defensive side of the ball, like I said, the other linebacker that they put in there, and now that Smith is out, you know, who's going to be filling that role and covering the running backs? And if Kevin Pierre-Louis can have a big game against covering a running back, then I would look for that defense to be able to shut down the run up the middle against the Falcons. And you know, as long as Richard Sherman on Julio Jones, I like the matchup with Sherman there.
Fair enough. He is Brandon Schultz for the Seahawkers podcast. Brandon, how can they follow you and get more information on the podcast?
They can check us out at SeahawkersPodcast.com. We're also on Facebook, Facebook.com/SeahawkersPodcast, and on Twitter at SeahawkersPod.
He is Brandon Schultz. Brandon, thank you so much for joining me in studio, and I look forward to having you on again very soon, my friend.
Thank you.